Hi, and welcome back to the Live In Podcast. This is Kristen Blazek from the College of Urban Affairs, and we are back doing the podcast. Molly is here with me again, because she's always with me in heart and spirit, right?
Always here for you.
Always. And we're here today. We're still remote because of COVID-19, and we are here today with Dr. Marissa Piazza. Hello, Marissa.
Hello.
Can you introduce yourself real quick for us?
Hello, everybody. I am Marissa Piazza. I work in the Center for Economic Development at the Live In College. Interestingly, the Live In College has kind of two different sides to it. One is a teaching side. So if you're a student or you're looking to be a student, you'll probably only have contact with faculty members, and they are awesome. And Kristen. Molly and I actually work in the research center. So we're full-time researchers who get to look into really cool stuff and try to help solve some problems across Northeast Ohio. Interestingly, if you are interested in the research we talk about today, we're always hiring graduate assistants. So you can talk to Kristen or any of the members of student services to see if that's the right fit for you. And we do a pretty good job of employing them all year round. So yes. Come talk to us.
You guys have the best GAs.
We do.
Because there are students. So I guess I'm really super biased in that as well, is that there are students.
It's still true.
I like to always say that you guys are the people that on the news, when they say studies show, that's what you do, is you're the studies.
We are the studies that show. My boss does a lot of interviews with local news, sometimes even national news.
And that's one of my favorite ones is she was interviewed for the lunch robots that were supposed to deliver like lunches. And I got so excited that those could be a possibility, that there'd be like a Mars rover looking thing going down the sidewalk delivering me.
Because it's one step closer to us getting jetpacks.
Absolutely.
Flying cars too. I'm still waiting for mine.
I'm waiting for my jetpack.
Right.
So what are we going to talk about today, Kristen?
We're going to talk about economic development today, but we're going to talk about entrepreneurship as well. So I want to ask you, what is a very good broad definition in case people don't know what is economic development? Because I'm explaining it to students every day what economic development is. So what is your definition of economic development?
Well, so in the center, we take a broad scope on what is economic development. So a lot of people think of economic development as a new building or a construction of a stadium, and that's economic development. It is. But overarching is economic development contributes to the economic growth of a region. And what do I mean by economic growth? I mean jobs, livelihoods, more income. So anything that will make a region more prosperous is what we consider economic development. All right. And one way to do that is to look at how businesses are created and what businesses are located in a region and see what that means and see what that means for the future, right? So when you look at places, you want to see a good mix of businesses. And what does that mean? It means that you don't want a lot of old businesses and you don't want a lot of new businesses. You want everything in between, right? So Cleveland's home to many Fortune 500 companies that have been here for hundreds of years. And that's great, but having all, as we all know, all your eggs in one basket, that's not good, right? So making sure that you have a good set of entrepreneurs who are gonna bring about new products and new innovations to the region that some people are gonna make it, some people aren't. But that being said, it creates a fertile environment for talent. It creates an environment for problem solving. It creates an environment for new products, new services, and just new stuff overall, which we like stuff. I mean, we're Americans. We buy a lot of stuff. We like a lot of stuff. I have a watch that tells me, you know, my text messages now. How great is that? So new technology is pretty awesome. And it's the way we are able to communicate today, especially during COVID. And without entrepreneurs, we wouldn't be able to do that. Without people with new ideas, we wouldn't be able to do that. So today I'd like to talk to you about entrepreneurship as it relates to economic development. That's okay with you ladies.
That sounds great. I was going to say, last time we talked about the idea of businesses being in the building sharing, right? The office sharing, right? We talked about that. And that would be a good tool for entrepreneurs.
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
That was co-working. The last conversation we had was about co-working.
Right. That's the one.
co-working for those who are new to this, there's another podcast out there where you get to see my lovely face. And we talk about co-working establishments. This is where people come either day to day or they create an office and they work essentially together, whether you work on the same project or not. Interesting to note that during COVID, co-working is, depending on the place, on the rise and some places on the decline. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who work for employers that cannot work from their homes for one reason or another are finding co-working spaces useful. That being said, there are other people who are straying away from co-working spaces because of COVID.
Well, that's a distinction with entrepreneurship as well during COVID. There are places that are still doing well and places that aren't. There are businesses that are still doing well. And you mentioned the business environment at a place like Cleveland. So what does that entrepreneurial ecosystem look like? What is an entrepreneurial ecosystem? What do you have to have in that system to help people create new businesses?
Well, in an entrepreneurial ecosystem, you have to have everything, right? So think about the ecosystem in which we live, right? This is what it comes from, is this like biological concept of you need air, you need water, you need shelter, you need all of these different things that are related but are unrelated. And the same thing for an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur needs capital, it needs a loan, it needs mentors, it needs support, it needs a place to do its business, it needs all sorts of different resources that may or may not necessarily be related. And so having this ecosystem that supports entrepreneurs is important. Because you want to be able to show successful entrepreneurs. Showing success can also attract more entrepreneurs.
Kind of a chicken and egg thing.
Unfortunately, kind of a chicken and egg thing. We've done some previous work as it relates to, we've had a couple other grants with the Kauffman Foundation, and we've looked at entrepreneurial ecosystems and kind of what places need. And above and beyond all, we found that networks, people need networks. They need to be able to find what they need, right? So not all businesses need a loan. Not all startups need, you know, everybody's always like, oh, capital, capital, capital. I need a loan. No, you really need a mentor who can tell you, you know, no different than you're a student, right? You're a student who goes to Cleveland State or another school where you should come to Cleveland State because it's a great place, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, because the Center for Economic Development is there.
And, goes without saying.
And you need a mentor as well, right? You need somebody to help hold your hand, not even hold your hand, but guide you and say, what are you interested in? How do you want to get there? And that's no different than a business owner. A business owner has an idea, they have a product, they want to get it there. And sometimes that's not necessarily just getting a loan. It's saying, oh, you know what, you need to meet Kristen Blazek because she has all the answers as it relates to Levin College and she can point you in the right direction. And that's the same way as it is for entrepreneurs.
So how do you encourage that network? If you're a place, right? So, and how do you create these networks? How are they sustained?
Well, so a lot of these places that are successful, like you think of Silicon Valley, you think of Boston, you think of DC, right? These are places that have organically created it for one reason or another. I take that back. They haven't, we think they've organically created it, but a lot of institutions are behind that creation. Like if Stanford University did not exist in Silicon Valley, Silicon Valley would not be Silicon Valley, right? It had a tremendous investment. Same thing with Boston. If MIT and Harvard were not in Boston, it would not look this way. So there are educational institutions that are key to it, right? We talked about talent. We haven't talked about talent yet. We're gonna right now.
Let's talk about talent.
Well, that's part and parcel right. of those institutions.
Right. And so we've mm-hmm. done work for the Gunn Foundation as a continuation of a grant we had a couple years ago. And we're working with them and Economic Development Administration to look at talent, entrepreneurship, and different factors of regional growth. And what we've heard from other studies, not just this one, is that if an entrepreneur moves to a location to start a business, they need to have the ability to fail. And if they fail, they need to have the ability to find a job. If I come to Cleveland and I want to start a software company, I have to be able to say to my back of my mind, I need to find a place to work in just in case. Everybody needs just in case. And so having, and whether it's a startup environment or it's an established business environment, you need to have the ability to employ people and have that talent pool. And vice versa, if I come here to start a startup company, I wanna know that I can find employees to make my widgets, to make my hats. We've been making a lot of hats in Cleveland from our last podcast. And I need to know that I have skilled people who can make these hats, right? So talent is a huge part of entrepreneurship and economic development, because without employees, where are we, right? And I get that there's AI and robots and all of this stuff, but as of yet, there is not a robot who can do everything and has the sophisticated critical thinking skills to replace not rote tasks, right? One of the other things that we've been working on that just started, I'm very excited to tell everybody in the internet sphere.
This is breaking news.
it's not breaking news, but we're pretty excited. We just were awarded a grant from the Kauffman Foundation, which is a national thought leader in entrepreneurship. And it was apparently a very competitive process. We won a grant as it relates to minority businesses. So what we are looking at is the entrepreneurial ecosystems, now that you know that what that is, in Dayton, Toledo, and Cleveland. And we're looking to see what that looks like, how minority entrepreneurs connect with that ecosystem, and what are the gaps. Well, the cool part is, it's not just research, right? Just not writing reports. We're partnering with local organizations. We're gonna give them some small seed funding for them to implement action grants to see what will help close that grant. So, you know, it's not a lot of money. It could be hiring an intern. It could be something very discreet, like, getting more information out, or I have a feeling a lot of these things are information gaps, but that's my hypothesis. But whatever they say, it just can't be used to fund companies in particular, right? So, but what we can do to leverage these organizations, and then we're gonna go and see if it worked. I have a feeling a lot of these ideas aren't going to work, which is not a bad thing. It's a good thing to figure out what works and doesn't work. And then we're going to do the same thing over the course of 4 years. And the hope is that what we're going to find is a whole lot of what doesn't work and a whole lot of what works. And then we can turn around and say to communities, I feel like this summer, with all of the protests and the current environment that we face as it relates to racial equity, more and more communities are really saying, yeah, this is not okay. How do we fix this? And it's an important step for one to have that that thought and that idea. But then the part two of how do we fix this, I think, is way more difficult for people to conceptualize and tackle. And so the hope is that the end of this will have some sort of kind of little playbook for communities, namely smaller communities. We're not New York City and we're not Silicon Valley, right? But what can we teach Pittsburgh? What can we teach Columbus? What can we teach smaller cities that want to move the needle on minority business equity and help them as this rolls out? So that's a new project we're working on. So we're pretty excited about that one as well.
So with the, you know, entrepreneurship ecosystem, right? Is there a healthy ecosystem in Cleveland for any particular business, or is this going to help guide you more towards a specific business, or are we seeing anything in Cleveland?
Well, it depends on who you are and what the, and to be completely honest, what the color of your skin is. And okay. This isn't unique to Cleveland, right? We know that African Americans are underbanked and they don't have the right, not right, they don't have the connections to banking institutions. We saw this, you saw this in the popular news as it relates to these PPP loans, right? So the federal government issued a variety of loans, and a lot of minority firms were not able to get these loans because they did not have established banking procedures or had the ability to pick up the phone and call a bank to say, hey, how do I do this? In addition to the fact that the process was very cumbersome and they just don't have time for that. So a lot of it is what we're trying to distill out is, what does the broader ecosystem look like? And then where are touch points that are helpful for minority businesses? And what are kind of no-go zones? Like they feel like they're not welcome in. I remember hearing, and this is the perfect example and not related to business. I remember hearing about a couple CMSD students who looked at the Cleveland Museum of Art, and they were talking about, wow, that's really cool. And you know, we asked them, oh, why don't you go in? It's free. And they said, oh, well, that's not for us. And these kids were African American. They just didn't feel like they belonged there, right? So as a person, you know where implicitly where you belong and where you don't belong. And how can we break down those barriers so everybody belongs everywhere, right?
I know that there's a movement towards minority business owners because, I mean, in Cleveland, I know that I get, you know, social media, you know, posts all the time that are like, here are the, you know, Black owned businesses in Cleveland and minority owned businesses in Cleveland, to really point out, do you see social media as being a big benefit to getting the word out about minority business owners?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, right? So it's, you know, as you know, for social media, you only see what the algorithm tells you to see. So if you are interested in Black-owned businesses, then you will get those on your feed. At the same time, you know, a lot of Black-owned businesses aren't interested in being, quote, a Black-owned business. I'm a person who makes soap. I make soap. Either like my soap or don't like my soap. My color of my skin has nothing to do with the soap, right? So, I mean, that's a whole other thing. But coming back to economic development, there's a lot of talk, and I'm interested to dig into this as it relates to COVID, right? So we're here virtually because of COVID. We know there are huge gaps in broadband. We know there's a huge gap as it relates to minority and majority firms, we also know that no matter the race of the owner of the business, there's big problems as it relates to information that is able to be given and handled for large firms versus small firms. Because if I'm just a coffee shop trying to keep my doors open, I don't have time to get a PPP loan. I don't have time to look into all these different things, especially as it relates to all the health and safety regulations. So we're interested to see what people find that isn't helpful. Now, the cool part is that we're going to take a look at this across Dayton, Toledo, and Cleveland, right? So one would think they have similar ecosystems. I doubt that. We'll see. So this is kind of research in progress. So
what I'm hearing you say with all of this, whether it's the PPP loans, whether it's African American owned businesses or white entrepreneurs or just starting or established firms, is that the ecosystem essentially needs to function as the ability to make what is inherently a risky decision less risky, right? So there's a risk in starting a business. Mm-hmm. And the ability to provide resources in whatever form that is, whether that's bodies to employ, financial resources, broadband, the use of internet and communication resources to make it less risky for these people to create and operate a business.
Yeah. And one of the things that, it's outside the scope of these projects, but one of the things that is being discussed in the literature is, does student loan debt prevent that, right? So now that students more and more are tacking on large student loan debt, does that prevent them from becoming an entrepreneur?
So are there inherent obstacles that prevent people from even taking that initial risk?
Right. Or without stable healthcare, like if you have a pre-existing condition and you want to start a business, but then you can't afford health, like how does that work too? So, but that being said, we have also through the Gunn Foundation and funding from the Economic Development Administration looked at entrepreneurship. And we have a research brief about entrepreneurship as it relates to economic growth. And there are some really interesting findings in there. We find that yet again, racial equity and inclusion is a huge part of the gaps that are in our current ecosystem. And we look to other places to see what we can do as a part of that. In addition, it's what we've talked about here, information gaps between small and big businesses. There's also a whole segment about, what we are considering attainable and aspirational cities. So kind of what's the low-hanging fruit of what some cities are doing, and then what is the aspiration that we have, and what are they doing to make mm-hmm. things work? It's important not only when you work in this area, for any area, right? You want to find out what's the low-hanging fruit and how you can get there. And then the other way is to say, okay, well, what's the pie in the sky? What are they doing as well? And a lot of what you see is coordinated public policy. That's big deal, coordinated public policy, whether it's entrepreneurship or it's talent. You need the city, you need the county, you need anchor institutions, meaning large places that aren't going anywhere. So hospitals, universities, big corporations, and the state government in particular, all to be in lockstep as it relates to strategy. What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? Who's going to do what? And I think Ohio, as compared to a lot of other states, when it comes to science and technology and entrepreneurship and economic development, is there. I think they understand they've lost a lot of employment. They're losing some competitiveness in some areas, and they're really not happy about it. And so how can we go about doing this?
So they understand that that's the case. but haven't fully either addressed or figured out how to address making that up, but, you know, making up ground on that. You talked about aspirational and you talked about achievable places. For a city like Cleveland, where can we look to for places that are doing it right? And by it, I don't mean all of it, because I don't think that there's any place that has the entire ecosystem perfectly figured out and in balance. But where are even pieces that we can take from other places and learn about how they did that, how they created that level of coordination, how they got everybody on board, how they filled those gaps in their existing ecosystem to move us towards increased entrepreneurship and further prosperity and growth?
Yeah, so when we look at kind of different cities, we've looked at Milwaukee as kind of an attainable city. There's a lot happening in Milwaukee on the ground as it relates to the technology sphere, because there's something like 30 some odd colleges in Milwaukee. And so having all of that young talent running around is helpful. We've also looked at Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's kind of unfair to compare ourselves to Minneapolis, St. Paul, for the fact that St. Paul is the state capital. And excuse me, having a state capital near you is intrinsically different economy, because you're dependent upon state tax dollars. So when we talk about Minneapolis, St. Paul, it's kind of unfair to compare ourselves to St. Paul because that's the state capital. It's like comparing ourselves to Columbus. They have a large university plus a state capital.
Well, so those are assets you can't replicate.
Correct.
Right? And those are kind of inherent to place that you can't change. But what are the aspects that you can?
Well, the aspects you can change is legislation, right? So there's some legislation in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, that is conducive to a business environment. You can change how in which you engage with your anchor institutions to create a talent pipeline. And you see that Cleveland State's been doing a lot with that as it relates to healthcare, right? So they've formed a coalition with the hospital systems. They've working with NeoMed to have a medical program. So all of that kind of stuff is important. It's important to not only attract people to the region, but it's also important to educate your current workers. I know that it depends on the institution, but most Cleveland State students stay in the region. So if we can educate them and send them out in the world to be productive employees, that helps everybody, right? And it not only helps entrepreneurs, because any business owner is an entrepreneur. You go work for someone. They, at some point in time, had two people and they were working out of their basement, right? So even if it's Progressive Insurance, so working for a company is working for an entrepreneur. And so having that environment is important.
How does the pandemic alter our Cleveland? Our community, our ability to attract that talent, given a shift in environment. And some of this is still yet to be seen, whether predictions about increased mobility and working remotely are going to play out fully post-pandemic. But, you know, where do the opportunities lie for Cleveland in attracting people who could essentially relocate anywhere?
Well, I mean, that puts Cleveland in a good place. It's a great place to live. I'm not from Cleveland. I fell in love with it. Great place to live, low cost of living, pretty accessible to do things around the city. It's got a lot of what you would see in a major market, but in a mid-sized market. The only thing that this all hinges on is having broadband accessibility. And some places don't have broadband accessibility. And I'm not even talking about the disparity between it's just having the ability to get one gig into your house. Some places in the city of Cleveland or in, you can't. My in-laws live in Akron. They can't even get a gig, even if they wanted to. So having the right infrastructure, and I think more and more you're going to start hearing the word, instead of roads and bridges, you're going to hear broadband as a part of an infrastructure conversation. And that's also economic development, roads, bridges, and now broadband is a part of economic development. And so I think the hope is that a lot of these people will think of Cleveland as a good place to consider a new home. But that is yet to be seen.
All right. Any final thoughts on entrepreneurship in Cleveland?
My final thoughts would be that entrepreneurship isn't necessarily starting a business. You can have entrepreneurship in your thinking. You can have what's called an entrepreneurial mindset. That means you're a problem solver. It means that you are interested and engaged in creating new ideas. You don't have to be an entrepreneur to do that. I encourage all students to have that entrepreneurial mindset, because if you're constantly thinking and constantly changing, you will always be adaptive to the job environment. You will always have a job if you can think ahead of what people may or may not need. That being said, I would also like to encourage students and the broader public to check out our webpage. It's Kristen can post it with the video, and
check the description below or in the description.
We're the Center for Economic Development at Cleveland State. We do a variety of projects. You'll find one of them is entrepreneurship, but we do a whole lot of other things. And we're very thankful for our funding partners of EDA, the Kauffman Foundation, and the Gunn Foundation to help kind of spur their entrepreneurial interest in these particular topics.
I think the entrepreneurship mindset would also go really well with policymaking, in that if you're constantly trying to figure out how to solve a problem, you know, it might go into that. So I thought that was the most interesting, is that you having that entrepreneurship mindset in general. So
yeah, and there's a lot of training you can take as it relates to entrepreneurial mindset. I think the business school is involved with entrepreneurial mindset training, and that doesn't, and again, you don't have to start a business. Like, if you're a self-starter, if you solve problems, if you look for solutions and create new things, you're an entrepreneur, whether you like to call yourself that or not.
Right. And you and I can always fall back to CSU as our jobs when we go into the derby hat business.
Right. We're going to be milliners.
Well, I would very much be interested in a, you know, follow-up conversation with you on, you know, what you find related to Kauffman in these other cities, and what those, you know, gaps look like, and how other places are trying to fill them, and give us an update on, you know, what happens post-pandemic.
Yeah.
And how Cleveland begins to come out of this.
More than happy to come back.
Thanks. Well, that being said, thank you so much, Dr. Piazza. Again, it's so great to see you. I have a feeling we're going to see you again. You always have such great insight on economic development and entrepreneurship and hat making. So that being said, yes, their website is in the description. If you're listening on Spotify, it's in the description. Check us out at urban.csuohio.edu. You'll see a lot of their research on there. Other than that, everyone stay safe. And hopefully we'll see each other at CSU in the future.
Until our next podcast.
Until our next podcast. Bye.